Number 12, compared to eternity, it's not very long till we have get a chance to get to heaven, that's for sure. So tonight we're going to talk about racing a little bit. And so you say racing, and we're not talking about car racing. We're talking about tips to how to run the race. And we're going to talk about one of the greatest races of all time. I went down and actually looked at the greatest racing of all time, and they gave some this race from the Indiana... The greatest race of all time. And one of my favorite races, and I've used it as sermon illustration with our kids before, is the tortoise and the hare. One of the greatest races of all time. And everybody thought the hare was going to win. The hare had it. Hare had the energy, the power, was going to dominate. The only problem was he knew it, and he got distracted, and the tortoise ended up winning in the end. And so tonight when we look at this, we're going to look at running our race, talking about our spiritual race and the race that God has set before us, and give you some different tips. I think this is a great time to do this, especially for those that have just started school. It's a long school year. But not just those for school, for all of us, we all have a certain race that God's put before us. And I think there's some wonderful things we can learn about that tonight. And that way we can realize our Christian life is not a sprint. There are times when we are pushing forward, and there are times when we're reaching forth, and we're always doing things. But it's, you're going to see it says run with patience, talking about settling back, not stopping, but being patient and letting God do the work. And so tonight when we consider some tips for running the race, we're going to start off, there's a number of verses. We're going to start off first in Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're excited about what you have in store for us. Lord, help us as we look at this passage of Scripture and a number of other passages to remind us that we're in this race, and that the Scriptures call it a race on a number of occasions, and that we should need to keep the finish line in mind, not just something that's around the corner, not be distracted by the things on the sidelines, but help us to stay focused on what you called us to do, keeping our eyes focused on you, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, the joy that's set before us, the race that you've given us to do. And I pray as we look at these things, we help our young people as they understand their school year is a long year, but it's not all going to happen on the first day. And even if the first day is bad, doesn't mean the rest of the year has to be bad. But Lord, also for those in this room that are long out of school, help us to remind us that the race is still going on. And even though some of us might be going around that last bend, it's not the time to stop. Instead, it's the time to continue to push forward. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's a couple of things I want you to think about. If you're going to run a race, and I went to a Christian school, and our Christian school, they did not have running. You ran during soccer practice. You ran during basketball practice. You ran a little bit during baseball practice, but they didn't have something called cross country. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen much point to cross country. You get out there and you just run. There's guys that love to run marathons. I think it's wonderful for them. I've never had any interest in doing that. Running is not really my thing. But at the same time, I think it's a great way where people stay in shape and all those other things. A couple things when I learned about racing. You know, sometimes you have short races, you know, the 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash, even the one time. I've been in those type of races, especially with kids. And there's some different things that we can learn from the Scriptures about how to run this race that God has put before us. Before we go too far, I want you to think about that phrase that's found there in verse number 1. It says, let us run with patience. And that next phrase, the race that is set before us. So when we use about this idea of racing, we're not just talking to kids or NASCAR fans. We're talking about how the Bible describes our Christian life as a race, and that we're all in the race, and that we're all headed to that one direction as a Christian, and which is heaven. But how much we're going to accomplish, how much we're going to be able to do, it's sort of like Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. He finished his race. Here it talks about Jesus in verse number 2. He says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That was his race. So each of us have a race that God's given us. So how are we going to run? How are we going to do? And even in Corinthians, it talks about many races, only one that gets the prize, that we should all be striving together for the prize, for the mastery, not for our sake, but for his sake. And so the first thing I want you to think about, here's a tip, is get rid of those things that will slow you down. Get rid of those things that will slow you down. I don't know how much racing you've watched in your days, but usually the people that are racing at the Olympics, they don't got a lot of clothes on. And I don't think they're doing that just to show off their body. Some people don't wear clothes because they want to show off their body. And I think that's wrong. But also with racing, same thing. I don't care. I think modesty is more important than winning a gold medal. So I think everybody should have to be dressed. But why do they not wear very much? They make themselves as light as they can so they can run as fast as they can. And that's the principle that's given here in the Bible. If you truly want to do a good job, if you truly want to run the race, even for those guys that are in school, you're beginning the school year, if you want to have a good year, and it's not only for school, but next week got master clubs starting and team programs starting and peewee, all types of things you'd be working through all year, get rid of those things that are going to slow you down. Now here it uses two examples. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us. So sin is something that's going to stop us from running the race like we should. It's going to slow us down. And be honest with you, sin many times will take you and put you on the sideline and you're not going any farther. Not only is it not going fast, you're not moving at all because no longer are you hearing from God. No longer do you care about the things of God. And the Bible talks about if we regard iniquity of heart, and the Lord's just not going to hear us. We've stopped running. We've sat down and we like to watch other people run around. To be honest with you, that's if I had a choice between running in a race or sitting and watching, I wouldn't really want to do either one, but I'd rather watch. But in our Christian lives, it's not supposed to be that way. He didn't save us for us to sit on a sideline. And that's why he says, look, deal with your sins. If you're going to run the race that's set before us, if you're going to run with patience, if you're going to do those things, you need to learn to deal with your sins. I love the verse in Psalms 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I get that, not setting something wicked before your eyes. Don't let things in your eye gates. But that second phrase I really enjoy in that verse. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So he's saying, hey, I'm not going to let anything grab a hold of me and kind of slow me down. I think it was Joseph Ackley before when we talked about this passage of scripture, and I remember, I think it was Christian that did it, when we did some weights and we had weights go inside the backpack and had them run around the room or run back and forth to time them to see how fast they could run. They could run one way, but when you put 10 pounds on them, they slow down a little bit. You put 20 pounds on them, they slow down even more. And as you add it more and more weights, you know what's going to happen? It's going to slow you down. And sometimes in our Christian lives, what we do is we allow weights to attach to us and things to happen to us, and one of those things is sin. Now, it uses two specific different ones. It says the word, lay aside every weight and the sin, and that sin which should us easily beset. This is not talking about a sin that, oh man, that just jumped up, that hit me, and I fell in that sin, and I wish I never had. It's talking about those sins that we are not willing to get rid of, those pet sins. You know, those are the things that are going to slow us down in our race, but then it uses the word weight. Maybe it's not technically a sin, but it's something that's slowing us down in our Christian life. And I think sometimes that's something we got to really pay attention to and be really close. Because some people will say, well, I don't think it's a sin. You know, prove to me it's a sin and all those different things. But in all reality, if it's something that's slowing us down, then we're not running the race like we could. Think about what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What the scripture is saying there are some things in our life that people are saying, well, I don't know if that's right or I don't know if that's wrong or blah, 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 you know, whatever. But he's saying here, he says, look, even though it may be lawful for you, doesn't mean, even though you have liberty, doesn't mean that it's what's best for you. It's not expedient for you. Sometimes there are some things wrong with social media. There are some things that shouldn't, you know, certain things you shouldn't watch, certain things you shouldn't look at. But sometimes social media becomes a weight because of how much time it takes. You're not running the race because you're on social media instead. TV, the same way. There isn't a lot of good TV out there, but there is some things that are wholesome. But sometimes if you get too addicted to entertainment or to social media or even the hobbies, it may not be wrong scripturally, but it's weighing you down because it's taking you off the race you should be running and focusing on the things you should be focusing on. And these are weights. Even in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So what it's saying is, hey, look, I'm not going to lose my salvation for this, but it's not going to help me in my race. I'm not going to lose my salvation because I don't think you can, but at the same time, it's saying it's not edifying. It's not encouraging you. It's not saying, hey, keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Instead, it's saying, do you really need to go? Do you really need to run? Do you really got to care that much about school? Do you really got to care that much about your ministry? When there are some things like reading the Bible and listening to great preaching and being around fellowshipping with people who are fellow helpers of the truth that are encouraging along, say, let's keep on going. You can keep on doing it. And you got teachers that are there saying, you can do this, you can do that. Or you got friends that says, it might be discouraging, it might be a little disappointing, but you know what? God's good, God's faithful. Keep on going, don't stop. But then there are other things that are not edifying. There are other things that says, why are you doing it? You don't have to listen to that person. Sometimes other students will say, you don't need to listen to your parents. Sometimes they'll say, you don't need to listen to your teachers, your authorities. And what they're doing, they're not encouraging you. There are some things that you got to remember. There are things that will slow you down. Another thing I think about here, when I think about things that are slowing us down, I think about the sin that's talked about. I think about weight. Another thing I see here when it says run with patience, I think sometimes what slows us down is when we start worrying or we try to get ahead of ourselves. Don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. So this race that we're running is a walk with God. Don't get in front of God. Don't get behind God. The object of the race is to walk with Him and be at the pace He wants you to be at. Sometimes people begin worrying so much and they begin saying, oh, wait, there's something coming up and I got to run ahead and do. No. Let God. If you're running this race, let God run the race with you. In a sense, walk with Him. And talk about how Enoch walked with God. And sometimes we get so excited and we don't know what the future is going to happen. We begin worrying, oh, I got to go do this and I got to do that. And I get outside of God's will and I stop running the race because I start worrying about the things God doesn't really want me to worry about. And we get ahead of God. Oh, God, we got to go this way. God, we got to go this way. When God's been going that way all along. And somehow we got to say, man, I really slowed my race down because if I would have went straight, I'd be a lot farther along today than I am. Sometimes we get behind God, and God's sitting there saying, come on, let's go. You know what? Don't slow down. Let's get going. And it's almost like He's having to pull you along. Now, when we're running a race here, it's important to stay on track. And staying on track means running with patience. It's a picture of a runner settling in for the long haul. It's not a picture of sitting back and waiting to see what's going to happen in our life. It's not sitting back there. It's not getting ahead of God. Instead, it's a picture of the man or the woman that is running, that's active. It's an active, you know, run the race with patience. It's talking about being active as you're running, the person who will stand up and deal with what he needs to deal with the trials in life, but they continue to go forward. They do not let trouble stop them. They conquer the things that God brings into their life. They conquer the obstacles that are there. Sometimes when you're running, you have those hurdles, and you got to jump over those hurdles. And you know, there are certain things that go along with that, but we're always understanding that it's for God's glory and that we need to realize that it's part of our race. Second thing I want you to think about is not only get rid of those things that slow you down, but don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. You see in verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Sometimes we get distracted with certain things. When I think about the school year, it's, you know, the goal is to graduate. goal is to do the best you can and to graduate. And sometimes when somebody does really bad, one time they get so upset, I'm going to fail. I'm never going to recover. And the reality is, usually it's just one grade. And it's not, it'd be foolish to say that my whole school year is dependent upon that first day. And what we need to remember is that we don't get distracted with the little bumps in the road. We stay focused on the race. And that's what he's saying, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the race. What is the goal for our lives? What is it that we think God wants us to accomplish? What is it that we feel like God wants us to have done in this world? Obviously, if we're Christians, which most of us would claim to be Christians tonight, heaven is where we're going to end up. And if we think about where we're at in life right now, I know, thankfully, somebody put on the bulletin how old I am. So at 48, I'm not middle age. I'm over middle age. So 48 plus 48 is 96. Most people do not end up being 96. So I'm more over the hill there. I know what some of you are going to say. No, you're not. But you know, so at 48, from 48 to however old I'm going to be till I graduate to heaven, what does God want me to do? If you look at life that way, you know, hey, if you're 20 and someday I'm going to heaven, what does God want me to do? I think we would all say that God would want us to be faithful, that God would want us to be part of a church, that God would want us to minister to others. I think winning people to Christ is in that list, right? I think raising or being a blessing to your family, no matter how big or how small. I think being faithful to a church is in that. I think memorizing scriptures, learning scriptures, praying. I think all those things are in that race. And so as you're looking from here to now, am I winning people to Christ? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? Am I raising my family or ministering to my family? Am I part of a local church and being involved? All those different things. I start here. I know that's what God wants me to do. I know that's part of my race. So why aren't we doing some of those things? Well, I got 1 out of 5, Pastor. Well, then where's the other 4? And it's because of distractions sometimes. It's distractions. I remember when I went to school, there were things that distracted me in school. One thing that distracted me in school was sports. Another thing that distracted me in school was friends. Another thing that distracted me in school was girls. Man, they're the problem of everything, isn't it? So, but there was those things that were there, and we need to make sure we don't get distracted. The Bible says, but none of these things move me, neither I count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy. He's saying here, Paul's saying, look, I didn't let things distract me. I didn't let things move me. I wanted to finish my course, and I want to finish it with joy. Because I can tell you, if I'm 20 here and at 80 years old, if I've never won anyone to Christ, I know I've never even put any effort into it. I know I don't know the Bible. I know I don't really have a good prayer life. And I know that I have not ministered to my family. I'm not finishing my course of joy. I mean, no offense, because we can always be working towards that. But we're going to have a life of regret instead of a life of joy at the end. And Paul's saying, because I don't want any of these things to distract me. I don't want any of these things to move me. Because of those things, I want to make sure, because someday, I don't want to say I regret what I've done. I want to be able to pen the words, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've done what he's called me to do. But so often when we're running this race, we get so distracted that a whole year can go by and say, man, I didn't even pass out a gospel tract. I didn't even memorize one verse this year. Wow. I know some people use reading through the Bible. Whatever the thing is that you're there, I always had these good intentions. If you're running a race, good intentions isn't going to get you very far. Running a race means I got to stay focused and can't be distracted. I know sometimes when exercise comes up in my life, it seems like distractions come every which way. Hey, I'm going to go walk. I'm going to go do this. Oh, the dog needs this. Or I need to do that. Or I get a phone call. Don't let things distract you in your life. Think about some of the things that distract you. First thing is other people. Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Church of Galatia was doing good. They even use this illustration, ye did run well. You were doing good in your race, but there was someone who stopped you from running that race. There is someone who slowed you down. There is someone who stopped you from doing what you can do. And so we need to make sure that we're not distracted by other people. I'll throw this out there because we're talking to kids a little bit. I'm not a big fan of teenage dating. I know that's not a popular position. I think the reason why you date and get to know somebody really well is because someday you're going to get married. You're going to get married to them. A 12-year-old cannot know that. A 13-year-old, I don't think some 20-year-olds really have it figured out. But it, for me in my house, what we do, we tell our boys, hey, wait till you're in college for a little while. Make sure you got your hearing from God. And as you're hearing from the Lord, then let God bring that person to you. You know, it's bad if you're a freshman in college and you're saying, oh, I wonder what that boy thinks, instead of saying, I wonder what God thinks. I wonder what that girl thinks, instead of I wonder what God thinks. And once again, that I know some there are some people that are super mature. There are some people who have, you know, childhood sweethearts and it works out for them. I'm not picking on them. But I tell you, in the day and time we live in today and the emphasis that's placed on that dating, for me, this is how I feel. Now, do I know that I am the minority? Probably so. And am I going to judge somebody for allowing their kid to? I'm not. But at the same time, I think it's important to share like good biblical truths that are there. You know, we need to train up our child. We want them to marry the right person. And if they don't, if they're not mature enough to drive or have their own job or do other things, why do we think they're mature enough to find out who that next person should be for their life? And giving their emotions over to more and more people. I've seen more than once a young person's romantic interest get somebody off course so quickly. And I don't care how old they are. From the age of 12 all the way up to 20, I've seen, yeah, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then they find somebody, they fall in what they call love, and then they turn around, they get off track. And once again, I know there are some, I know a few of you that have been married for all those years, and I think that you are the exceptions, but at the same time, don't let other people do that. Don't let other people distract you. Don't let your friends distract you. The reality is, someone's either going to help you towards God, help you in your race, or they're going to pull you away. And if we're running that race, we need somebody who's going to encourage us. Hey, stay on track. Go ahead, you can do it. That's why you see this coaches out there. Come on, one more lap. You can do this. 5 more push-ups, this and that. And they're encouragers. That's what they're doing. They're trying to encourage you in your race. But there are people who will encourage you not in your race, but they'll encourage you to stop your race. I've met people that I've heard friends say, I've sat in a church van as a youth pastor here, and I heard one child tell another child, you know, talking bad about their parents. I said, whoa, you're not going to do that around me. I said, I don't think you should do it at all. And then they start, okay, can't talk about my parents. Then they start bad-mouthing teachers. It's like, no, you're not going to do that around me either. If you have a problem, you should go talk to your parent. And if you have a problem with your teacher, you should go talk to your teacher. If you can't talk to your teacher, talk to your parent. You know, so it's they were trying to say, hey, oh, yeah, it's okay if you don't do your homework. It's okay if you cheat. It's okay if you do these things. No, we need people who are going to encourage them in the race. So don't be distracted by people. People will distract you. Don't be distracted by other people's races. What do you mean? Well, look what it says here at the end of verse number 1. The race that is set before us. I've seen so many times people get distracted by what other people are running or how other people are running. One of the things they tell you to do when you're running is that you stay focused. You got a focal point. You keep on going. You don't turn around to see where the other person's at. You don't turn around to see where this person's at. If they're going to pass you, you're going to see them as they're passing you. So you stay focused and you run and you just keep on running. And I see many times in a Christian's life that sometimes we get so focused on someone else's race that we stop running because we're worried about everybody else. Well, so-and-so didn't do this, and so-and-so didn't have to go through cancer, and so-and-so didn't have to deal with their child doing this, and so-and-so didn't have to deal with this and deal with that. And when they begin to worry about other places, and that's what the Bible is saying here, run with patience the race that is set before us. This is the race that God has given you. Stay in your lane. Refuse to go into the other people's lane, and do not end up hindering yourself or someone else. Scripture says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So what it's saying is when you start looking around and saying, well, if I had that husband or if I had that wife, everything would be great. If I went to that church, or if I had that pastor, if I had that teacher, or if I had, well, how come so-and-so gets to do this, and how come I got to do this, and how come God's made me this way and didn't make me that way? You know what? Those are not our races. God says, hey, I want you to stay focused on your race. And obviously, we're going to encourage other people in their race, but we're not going to say, hey, because I don't get to run like them, I'm going to stop running. Because I don't have the same talents, or I don't have the same abilities, or because I don't have the same wisdom, or because I don't have the... We're not in a competition. As believers, we're not competing against one another. We're there to encourage one another. We're there to push other people on. Hey, keep on going. If the Lord's blessing you, praise the Lord. We'll rejoice with you. As the Bible says, we're going to rejoice with them that are rejoicing. We're going to mourn with them that are mourning. But we should be excited when someone can sing really well. Who cares if they sing a little bit better than you? I mean, reality is we're not in a competition. It's not this person versus that person. It is, hey, I want to serve God with my life. I want to run my race, and I'm going to run to the best of my ability. But if somebody passes in front of me and they're going stronger and they're accomplishing more for God, praise the Lord with that. And the same thing with in master clubs and in team program. Hey, if somebody's setting the mark and putting it high and they're doing really well, praise the Lord. God gave them those talents and abilities. It doesn't stop us. It helps us to move forward more. But I've seen people think that the Christian life is a competition. I see people say, well, if they get to do that, why can't I do that? If they get to sing, why can't I sing? And sometimes, once again, we got to trust our leadership that they're doing what's right and they're not trying to show favoritism. But our courses have been individually designed. God has made some of us really good looking. Some of us he's made not so good looking, like me. You know, God has made some of us really active and able to do certain things. Some of us don't have the same abilities. Some of us have the ability to memorize. I've seen kids memorize chapters of the Bible in an hour. I think it's amazing. I try to get them to use that talent, younger people, for the Lord. But many times they might memorize a chapter of the Bible, but they don't use it. They don't memorize. They don't think about it. You know, God has designed all of us differently. Sometimes book smart is great. Sometimes common sense is even more important. And God's given us all races. Don't be comparing yourself. Man, I wish if I was that smart, I would get straight A's. No, this is my race. This is what God's given me. I'm going to stay focused in my race. I'm going to just keep on going and keep on moving. I'm not going to feel like I'm in competition with somebody else. I'm just trying to serve my Lord. My job is not to outrun somebody else. My job is to run for the Lord and the race that he's planned for me and the ability he's given me. So how are we doing tonight? Are we being distracted from jobs, families, all things that are important? They're important. Ministry. If we're running this race for the Lord and we know the Lord's got some goals he wants us to accomplish, some things he wants us to do, some things that we got to be on this path, are we still running or are we stopping to take care of so many things? Third thing, and I think this will be our last tip. The first one talked about getting rid of those things that slowed us down. The second thing is about not being distracted. Third thing is let God renew your strength. I don't know about you, but talking about all this racing makes me tired. So just the idea of running, especially with my knee still a little bit weak, the idea of just running at all would be like, whew. And I know some of you guys go and you run miles at a time. I think that's great. I used to do that. But what strength are you running on? I know sometimes we can say, Pastor, I'm tired. I've worked so hard. I've lived so much. I've done so much. I've ran this race so long. I don't have enough energy to go past the finish line. And the reality is, I agree with you. You're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to be able to accomplish it. You're never going to be able to run the race that God wants you to race on your own. It's just not going to happen. You need his strength. Think about what Isaiah chapter 40. Actually, why don't you take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 40. There's some really great verses there. Isaiah chapter number 40 tells us that, hey, you're going to get tired. Here in Hebrews chapter number 12, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You can be wearied and faint in your minds. This world is not going to be friendly to you. This world is going to try to slow you down. This world is going to try to trip you. The world's going to try to get you winded. The world doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to keep on running. That's why he says, keep your focus on Jesus. You think about it. It says, for the joy that was set before him. Think about his grace. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was crucified. The joy that was set before him, he said, well, he rose again from the dead. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He kept the joy in front of him. He said, well, that's not it for me. If you're a Christian, guess what? The joy is for you. Someday it's going to be heaven. And yes, while we're running this race, there's going to be some hard times. It's going to take some sweat. And yes, it's going to take some focus. But we got to remember, looking unto him, look at the finish line, look at the goal at the end, look at the reward, look at those crowns. But so how often we get distracted with the pebble on the side of the road. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 40. It says in verse number 28. Isaiah 40, 28. He says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creators of the ends of the earth," isn't that awesome? It just says, there's God, he's God, look at him as God. But then he says, "Fainted not, neither is weary." And you're like, wow, I wish that was me because I get tired. Then he says, it stops right there, and it says, there is no searching of his understanding. You're not going to figure him out. By faith, believe him. He reveals himself unto you. But look at that next phrase. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Man, think about that. While you're running this race, I can't go any farther. I'm done. I'm over with it. Just take me home, God. Elijah said that. Job said that. Other people got so overwhelmed, I don't need to be living anymore. He's like, no, your race isn't done yet. And he says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Then it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Sometimes you see kids running around, and I hear people say, boy, if I could just have that energy. If I could just have that much energy or just a quarter of that energy so I could get out there and do those things. This is even the young people are going to fall. Kids know how to play hard, but they also know how to sleep hard sometimes too. You ever see somebody out there gets going crazy and playing, and then as soon as they get in the car, they're gone. And he can't wake them up for anything. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how much energy you have, how young you are. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to become weary. But then it says in verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So what's the difference here? Is when they're running their race, they're not using their own strength. They're using God's strength. They're not depending on their own power. They're depending on God's power. What does it say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's his power and his strength that we're relying upon. It cannot be ours, because no matter how strong we are, no matter how fast we can go, sooner or later we're going to fail, and sooner or later we're going to stop. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you're running on the Lord's strength, as I said in verse number 28, he fainteth not, neither is weary. You're never going to make him tired. You're never going to depend on him too much. You're never going to take too much of his strength away. He is someone that says, I will enable you to run this race and to run it with patience and the race that's set before you. So don't let things weigh you down. Don't let things distract you. And when you're running, remember it's God's strength that you're running with. So this year, if we look at it from a school year perspective, you know, kids, work on your own stuff. Focus. Get done your stuff. Don't worry about what so-and-so is doing. Don't worry about somebody else doing. Oh, they got a better. Don't even. Just stay focused and do what you're supposed to do. Do it back there in the back. You know, hey, let's do the best I can. Let me run my race. And don't make an excuse to why I can't do something. Just do the best you can. Stay focused on your race. Don't let people slow you down. There are going to be people out there that the devil's going to use to try to distract you, to try to pull you back, to say, hey, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to listen to your parents. That's a stupid rule. All those different things. We can talk about the teacher. You know, everybody does it. No. Don't let people slow you down in your race. Don't get distracted by people or other people's races. And trust in the Lord. He's the one that can accomplish it. He's the one that can help you sin. He says, stay focused on me. I was thinking a little bit today about my race and the things I want to accomplish, or I believe God wants me to accomplish. And then I looked back over the last however many years. You want to take 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 30 years. And you say, man, what happened? I didn't do anything that I thought God wanted me to do spiritually. I look back and life happened. And don't get me wrong, time does fly by. But there are some things we have just let us distract us so much that we haven't accomplished what we believe God's called us to do. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, family doesn't need you. They do. But I'm saying most of us don't have any problem with our hobbies or our relaxation or with watching your TVs or playing games and things like that. And like I said, there is a spot for that. But it seems like sometimes what gets crowded out in our lives is the spiritual things. We're willing to slow down in order to take a look at this, kind of sort of like that hair. In the back, when I've taught taught something about that race, it talks, if you see a little old cartoon, the hare would stop and take a nap, the hare would look around and get super distracted, and the tortoise would end up winning just because the hare, it didn't stay focused. Don't waste the race that God's given you. He has designed you for the race. He has set it before you, and he says, run it with patience. Don't let something weigh you down. Don't let sin hold you back. Don't let weights hold you back. Don't let being worrying and trying to run past everything. Don't get in front of God. Don't get behind him. Stay focused on the grace. Don't let people distract you. More importantly, make sure God is the one giving you the strength to run. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this wonderful group of people that